tolerance or violence, and the whole world goes to war. Is one enough, or is one too many before we say no more?
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. That was Spearhead, Michael Franti Spearhead. Another unreleased track coming from his documentary that's going to be coming out hopefully very soon, where he travels to the Middle East. He goes to Palestine. He also goes to Iraq. So that was Spearhead. And on the phone with me now, I have Kristen S., editor from the Palestine News Network. And Kristen, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Well, we've been getting a lot of news about the supposed pullout, the Gaza pullout, and we wanted to get some different views from you and from other, you know, independent media sources, which we've been getting a lot of this morning. We played flashpoints earlier, and I'm just curious, what's the latest that's going on today?
I lost your voice for a minute, so I hope you can still hear me. The connection's not that great suddenly. But I'll start by saying that you're right to be skeptical about this pullout. The withdrawal from the Gaza Strip is something that the Israelis are really capitalizing on as far as trying to dissemble to the international community that they are interested in anything other than continuing their plan to take over the whole area. And unfortunately, they're getting away with it. Getting rid of the 21 settlements in the Gaza Strip, of course, is what has to happen under international law. All Israeli settlements everywhere are illegal under international law. That's the most important thing to remember when we're looking at who's doing what in this community. The Israelis have to do this if they want to follow international law, and of course, they're just second to the U.S. in breaking international law. And so what is going on is a lot of fuss about these settlers leaving the Gaza Strip. Of course, they are there on occupied Palestinian lands. There's 1.5 million Palestinians that live in the prison that the Gaza Strip is for them, where they don't control any of their basic services. They don't control their borders, their seaports, their airports, which, of course, the Israelis destroyed at the beginning of this intifada. Unfortunately, after this withdrawal happens, Mofez, the head of the Israeli military, and, of course, the prime minister of Israel, Sharon, have both said that the Israelis are going to continue controlling the border. They will not allow Palestinians to have freedom of access or exchange with the outside world. In addition to the wall that they built 2 years ago in the south of the Gaza Strip, in Rafah, where they destroyed thousands of people's houses, to build this and to create this area that they now refer to as the Philadelphia route, which used to be Rafah. Now, that whole, in addition to that wall, they're building one that goes the north-south. This is going to be more of a prison for Palestinians, and the people inside, of course, while they're happy that the settlers are leaving, it does not mean an end to the occupation. And under the Fourth Geneva Convention, it will remain the onus will remain on the Israelis as the occupier to behave under international law. But as I said, they don't. It's not their forte. So what the Palestinian Authority is talking about, Saab Arakat, Nasser Youssef, President Abbas, Prime Minister Karia, all of them are talking about how they're going to deal with the situation where the Israelis say they have left, but continue to occupy all the outside and have said clearly that they will come back in whenever they want to. So how is the Gaza Strip going to be any kind of viable entity, as it is, will remain a prison? There's a lot of talk about what kind of access the Gaza Strip will have to the West Bank as well. And, of course, there should be some sort of safe passage set up. But what safe passage means is that if you're on this road, you're not allowed to stop at all. and the people will be lucky if they get this. And of course, the border with Egypt may or may not be end up being somewhat free for Palestinian residents to come and go. And of course, people hope that they will be able to transport goods and not just themselves through that border and between the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. One of the things that happens in, under the Israeli occupation, of course, is to strangle the economy. And when they prevent the free movement of goods, export and import, then, of course, Palestinians have an even harder time being self-sustainable after, of course, the Israelis have demolished so many of the homes and destroyed so much of the land in that demolition. The soil quality is very low right now because of all of the destruction and all of the debris that's in the ground now from the demolished houses, from the refrigerators, from the cars, all of the things that that go into to poisoning the land. And, of course, the agriculture itself, the trees, a lot of the farmland has been destroyed. And so it's going to be a very, very difficult for people in the Gaza Strip to be able to eke out any sort of a viable life when they have to deal with these conditions. It's unfortunate that the Israelis and the international community are buying it, but that the Israelis are presenting this as if this is some sort of test case to see if the Palestinians can govern themselves. Of course, that's not the question. The question has never been whether or not the Palestinians are a self-sustaining population, whether or not they can govern themselves, or whether or not they can play into the hands of this idea of what people call democracy. And of course, the Israelis, although they flout that they are the only democracy in the Middle East, certainly are not a democracy. And so it's unfortunate that this game seems to be working, because at the exact same time, the fears of many, many people are being realized, as Sharon said, and as Mofez said, leave from the six major settlements of the West Bank that are really, really destroying any continuity of the West Bank. It is becoming even more impossible to travel through the West Bank. And, of course, the checkpoints were always there. But now with these, keeping these settlements in and continuing to build the wall and continuing to surround Jerusalem with the Jerusalem envelope wall, all of those things lead to really a West Bank that is completely unlivable for the Palestinian population, and that is looks to many people as part of the plan. Of course, many people, because they are not able to work, because they can't get to their jobs, they can't engage in trade, they can't farm their lands because of the wall, they can't reach them, because the wall has been built so that the water supply is inside 48 under the Israeli control instead of being in the West Bank where it was before. All of these things lead to people, a lot of people wanting to leave, and a lot of people are leaving, and that's part of the process of ethnic cleansing, of course. You squeeze a population until they can't survive if you don't want to slaughter them outright in front of the cameras. And unfortunately, that's what's happening right now in the West Bank. And there's still a lot of talk about the prisoners who haven't been released and still maybe won't be released. There are many people who were put into exile in the Gaza Strip who want to return to their homes in the West Bank. But it remains to be seen what sort of a home they'll have to return to in the West Bank. Right now, the feeling in the West Bank is it's so imprisoned. And the Gaza Strip, although this isn't, nobody can say they're not sorry, no one is sorry to see the settlers go from the Gaza Strip, but we need to keep the discussion in reality and know very good and well that this is being used as a trade-off for the West Bank and for the Israelis to continue the full takeover of the West Bank and of Jerusalem, which, of course, Jerusalem is slated to be the capital of the future Palestinian state, and the Israelis under international law have no right to change permanently any facts on the ground in Jerusalem. And of course, they've even gone so far as to demolish homes in East Jerusalem, building settlements on there, and advertising in the newspaper to American tourists to come to these settlements that they're building on Palestinian lands in East Jerusalem for summer homes. This is a devastating situation for all Palestinians, what's happening right now. This is, although there are many people who are happy that something has happened, that after 38 years of occupation, they won't have to have the settlers inside the Gaza Strip, but it's really, it takes away from the reality of the situation when people focus just on that part. And of course, the international news is only focusing on the poor settlers who have to leave and are being taken from their homes, et cetera. And of course, one just has to remember that they're there illegally, that this is occupied Palestinian land, to realize that this is not something to get up in arms about. But as I have noticed from watching a little bit of the international media, it's certainly taking front and center this situation. But it's really not, it's not in keeping with reality. And the internal struggle in the Israeli government is getting a lot of attention, and of course that's not what the issue is either. The fact is that the Israelis continue to be the occupiers, that the Palestinians now in the international community are being put to even more into a state of needing to do gymnastics to prove somehow that they can control their own situation, reduce chaos, et cetera, when in fact they remain under occupation and they remain without any control of their own ability to live in a fruitful and real kind of way. And so to suggest that the Gaza Strip, as U.S. President Bush said, is that this is the test for the Palestinians to see if they can have a state. This is the fear of many people that the Gaza Strip would be the state, that would be it, that somehow this is what people are supposed to hold on to as their state. It's a prison. It is a very, very large prison for 1.5 million Palestinians that have to live in this place. And there's nothing about this that is bringing about any kind of freedom or anything that that some people are getting the idea of that's happening. Although at the same time, really, people are celebrating. There are a lot of people who are celebrating and so pleased to be getting anything. When you are a population that has lived under occupation for so long, when people have been given so little and had so much taken away, it doesn't take much to be a cause for celebration, and that's what we're seeing now. So although people are very cautious and the mood is somber in a certain kind of way and people know that it really mean anything, at the same time, there are a lot of people that are really pleased to see something happen for them.
There's also reports coming out from Palestine News Network that security forces are possibly moving into the northern Gaza Strip with bulldozers, armored vehicles. Is this true? Or I'm just reading it off of PNN News.
Since I wrote the story, I have to say, yes, it is true, in fact. Of course, this is the normal thing that happens in the Gaza Strip, that those settlements where we're watching these images of the settlers leaving or being evacuated or whatever you want to call it from these settlements are military installations for the Israeli occupation forces. Inside of those settlements are tanks, bulldozers, heavily armed soldiers, and military jeeps. What the Israeli occupation forces do regularly is they come from those settlements and they destroy Palestinian lives. They destroy their property. They set up roadblocks. They shoot people. We watch this happen all of the time in the Gaza Strip. And now today, it's just of note because, although it's a normal occurrence, but it is of note today because this is the second day officially of this withdrawal from the Gaza Strip, and everyone's paying attention to that. And what the Israeli occupation forces did today in the northern Gaza Strip, Lahia, they came from the Dugit settlement with their equipment and came in and tore people out of their homes, Palestinian residents out of their homes. This is the normal thing that happens, but those images don't make it on CNN right now. All we're seeing on CNN are these settlers, and this is the way the media operates. Unfortunately, the media cannot get reality straight. And, of course, I'm speaking generally about the media and not you, of course, because you all seem to do such a better job of trying to get to the truth. At the same time, it didn't only happen in the northern Gaza Strip. It happened in the central Gaza Strip, just north of Abu Holi checkpoint, which cuts the Gaza Strip in half, with a settler-only bypass road that goes over this area. There's a town called Deir Bella, and what the Israeli occupation forces did today is rolled into there and did the same thing. that they did in the north, broke into people's houses, tore them from their houses, and did their usual thing. Why that's not getting on the news, unfortunately, is the same as usual. That kind of stuff doesn't make it on the news. That is a normal occurrence in the Gaza Strip. And so it's just points to how what kind of bias we have in the news, that no one's paying attention to that.
That is amazing. I watched the news, I think it was NBC News, and they just showed all the settlers, you know, being arrested, getting in scuffles. But they didn't mention all the Palestinians who had their homes confiscated and destroyed so they could build a wall or for other reasons, you know.
Or so they could build those settlements that those people are being evacuated from.
Exactly.
That land is Palestinian land. And if you look at those pictures of the settlements, the thing that's interesting to look at is how lush they are and how pretty they are. And aren't there a lot of green trees? And aren't there a lot of green bushes and nice things there? It's because the water is diverted to those settlements. It's because the Israeli bulldozers did not come through those settlements and destroy everything the way that they did outside in the regular part of the Gaza Strip, in the place that is for the Palestinians, not in the settler-only land, because the settlements are put in the best land, and a great deal of the water supply is diverted to them. Of course, the percentage of water that Palestinians are allowed to use in the Gaza Strip is about a tenth of the amount that the Israeli settlers are allowed to use. And so, of course, when you look at those pictures of the settlements, take note of the fact that they're green and lush and they're gorgeous, because that is what the Gaza Strip looks like. That's what it looked like before the Israelis started occupying it 38 years ago.
There's also been reports that some of the settlers are getting up to $300,000 to relocate, and that's not really making it too much in the news as well.
Well, a lot of that money has come from the U.S. Of course, you know that the Israeli government went to Washington and asked for $3 billion more just for this withdrawal. And, of course, the Israelis are the highest recipient of U.S. foreign aid in the world, and the Israelis already get $3 billion a year. Part of the reason why many people think that the Israelis have made this look like it's such a fuss and like it's so difficult and, oh, look at how hard it is to move these settlers and where are we going to move them, etc., instead of saying, frankly, we have so much Palestinian land that we've stolen already, we can just put them on it anywhere inside 48 and all of the Negev. Instead, they make it like it's this very, very difficult thing, you know, we need this help, and please come in and do something for us. And a lot of people think this is simply so that it can be easier to sell the fact that there's no way they can withdraw from the West Bank. These four settlements that they're withdrawing from in the north of the West Bank are really, of course, it's great that they're leaving them. No one's sorry that they're going. But at the same time, those are not the settlements in the West Bank that are destroying the possibility of life in the West Bank. The settlements that are destroying, completely destroying the West Bank, are settlements like Ariel and Mali Adumim, just to name two. These are settlements that are huge, that have cut the West Bank into a way that it is so difficult to move through it. Mali Adumim is being expanded so that it's impossible to get to Jerusalem from the rest of the West Bank. And, of course, you look at Gilo, and that's coming out the other side to make sure that people from the south can't get into Jerusalem. Those are the things that people should be thinking about and remembering, what the settlements actually are and what they actually do to people's lives in the West Bank. And unfortunately, this idea that the Israeli military government, the occupation government, needs help to do this, this just plays into it. I think that this is, as far as a PR move, this is very, very smart on Sharon's part, even though, and all of the internal struggle that's going on with Netanyahu leaving the parliament over it and people really being up in arms and having this internal struggle, it's very, very good for the overall, the larger picture for the Israelis, because they can use this for the next 50 years. To continue to occupy Palestine and to destroy it piece by piece.
Expand. And we are talking to Kristen S. here of Palestine News Network. She's the editor for Palestine News Network. That's PNN.PS. You can check it out for yourself on the internet. And I just want to thank you for taking this time to update us on the real situation and what's going on in Palestine. I was wondering if you had any closing comments.
I wanted to just mention that I saw, since you're in the U.S., of course, I saw an interview with George Bush and an Israeli station, and the kinds of things that Bush was saying were really, I mean, they were so crazy, the attitude that he has towards this situation, that I think that we need to get really back to basics on this situation, and never mind getting into the specific names of anywhere or what actually is happening or anything, and just back to the basic point, which is this is occupied land, all of it's occupied, and it's not the onus of the occupation is not on the occupier. It's not the onus of the occupied to provide for the protection of the occupier. And listening to George Bush's comments made it pretty clear to me, at least, that we have gotten nowhere with the international community having a real idea of what's going on, if he is at all representative. And whether or not he's representative, he certainly has most of the power in this situation. And so I think that it's just really important for people to try to keep themselves in reality and not get sucked into these images and not get sucked into the idea that the Israelis are making any sort of move for peace. This isn't about peace. This is about a further land grab. This is about further destruction of the West Bank. This is about further destruction of Palestine. This is about a further demonization of the Palestinians inside the Gaza Strip. And this is about demonizing the idea of armed resistance. If anyone does anything as far as armed resistance is concerned now, with all eyes on it, the Israelis can use this to sell their case even more than they already are. And it's just it's a really dangerous time for Palestine. And unfortunately, sitting here and in the West Bank, I don't think that anything is going to change for the better for the situation of the people that live here and whose land this is.
Kristen S., I appreciate you taking the time to speak to us here in Santa Cruz and beyond. And please stay safe.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org.